Today's show is sponsored by BMC, and BMC wants to know, is your business on its A game? The A game is when systems are intelligent by learning from markets, where automation is paramount yet effortless, and when technology and people work as one in an enterprise. The A game is your business at its absolute best. BMC calls this the autonomous digital enterprise. Find out more at bmc.com/agame. That's bmc.com/agame.
Cloudcast Media presents from the massive studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is The Cloudcast with Aaron Delp and Brian Gracely, bringing you the best of cloud computing from around the world.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you are. Welcome back to The Cloudcast. We are coming to you live from the massive Cloudcast studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hope everybody is doing well. We continue to roll into October. The fall is here. The leaves are starting to change. It's starting to get a little bit cooler, at least here in the United States. Hope everybody is doing well. Hope you all are staying safe. Unfortunately, it looks like the COVID is starting to kick in again, sort of phase two, wave two, if you will. So hope everybody is staying safe and keeping their friends and family and colleagues and everybody around them safe as well. So we are going to skip Cloud News of the Week. There were a couple of acquisitions this week that were kind of interesting. They are in the show notes if you want to take a look at them. But I want to skip it this week because I want to kind of set up, I want to tell a little story to set up this week's conversation, this week's interview. So a couple of years ago, I don't know, maybe 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, whatever, there was an issue that Aaron and I kind of wanted to talk about. It was an issue of just kind of how women in our industry were mistreated. There was kind of a specific thing that had come up. And, you know, we're talking about it amongst ourselves, and we said, hey, you know, we should do a show in which we kind of grab a couple of podcasts. We will all record. We're going to talk about this issue. It was a big issue, and you know, we'll all publish it at the same time. And so I sent off an email to a couple of shows, and one in particular I sent off to a friend of ours, Greg Nierman, who had helped us get started with podcasting. He was doing a show called Speaking in Tech. His co-host at the time was a woman named Sarah Vella. And I thought, oh, you know, the two of them will want to get involved with this. This really is something we need to talk about. And I was sort of surprised. I got an email back from Sarah. We'd never met. And she basically, because I had sent an email and I said, hey, we'd love to talk about this issue. Aaron and I are both, dads of girls, and we're concerned, you know, just trying to be good role models and those sort of things. And, these issues are important to us. And Sarah responded back and she said, you know, I have no interest, and I'm going to get this slightly wrong, so I apologize if I don't get the wording right, but the tone is what was important. But she came back and she said, I have no interest in doing a podcast with any sort of jerk who would make this issue, which is really an important issue, just about the fact that you are the dad of daughters, right? If you're not interested in doing this because it's the right thing to do, I'm not interested. And my first response was I was a little taken back. I thought, oh, okay, we were sort of friends with Greg. And then as I thought about it a little bit, it really sort of hit me. And she was absolutely spot on. And that's why I wanted to say that, you know, the wording didn't really matter. But she was really spot on in that if we were only doing this because we were the father of daughters, then we weren't doing it for the right reasons. We weren't really doing it because it was important to anybody. We were doing it sort of selfishly because it was important for us as dads and daughters. And ever since then, I've really sort of thought about, you know, if you're going to get behind something, if you're interested in making a change in the world, if you're interested in trying to make something better, you need to do it because it's just the right thing to do. And so today's show is, I shouldn't say that. Ever since then, we've tried really hard on the Cloudcast to make sure that while we're not great at it and we realize we always got to get better at it, we want to make sure we give a lot of opportunity for people that are from different backgrounds, from different voices, from different experiences, a chance to be on the show. And we've tried to be better the last few years. We've had to try and have a much more diverse audience, whether it's different ethnicities, more females, LGBTQ community, whatever that might be. We wanted to give voice to people, again, really smart people in our community. We wanted to give them voice and give them an opportunity to get their voice out there. And this week's show is no different. But most importantly, I wanted to do this week's show because somebody reached out to us and said, hey, I have something I want to talk about. It's an important topic. And the person is incredibly, incredibly qualified, incredibly well-spoken about this, and incredibly interesting background and experience. And I just thought, yeah, this is the right thing to do. And so I didn't give it a second thought because of that experience that Sarah Vella sort of called me out for it. I really appreciate that for her. I never really have had a chance to thank her. And so I want to thank her. But I think you're going to really enjoy this show. It's a great topic. It's an important topic. And it's a topic that we all need to sort of listen and learn. This is a great opportunity for you to listen and learn. So with that, we're going to wrap it up and we're going to get to our guest. Today's show is sponsored by Cloud Academy. Listen up, y'all. This is a great offer. With everyone using the same cloud platforms, winning and losing comes down to having the best talent to build products better and faster. Cloud Academy is the training platform of choice for Fortune 500 companies and thousands of tech professionals around the world. Thousands of video courses, learning paths, practical hands-on labs in real-world cloud environments, Cloud Academy has tools designed to help teams assess, build, and validate critical cloud skills. Most importantly, Cloud Academy stays agile, challenging you with new content, labs, and tons of features that ensure your skills stay relevant and everyone can level up. They cover everything from cloud certifications to DevOps to security to programming languages. You can get started now at cloudacademy.com. For a limited time, Cloudcast listeners can lock in 50% off the monthly price for life. Just put in the coupon code CLOUDCAST at checkout. It's a great way to pursue certifications or just build cloud expertise. Again, that's cloudacademy.com and use the coupon code CLOUDCAST to lock in 50% off the monthly price. Today's show is sponsored by Datadog. Start monitoring EC2, RDS, ECS, and all your other AWS services in minutes with Datadog. Whether you have 10 instances or 10,000, Datadog automatically tracks hosts as you scale. Visualize metrics, automatically alert on anomalies, and collaborate across teams to quickly troubleshoot issues before they escalate. Give it a try with a free 14-day trial by visiting datadog.com/cloudcast, and Datadog will send you a comfy, complimentary t-shirt. That's datadog.com/cloudcast. And we're back. And folks, you know, obviously there is a lot going on in the world. There are a lot of things that between COVID and people trying to adapt to the new normal, there's a lot going on in the world. But there's also, you know, a lot going on from a social perspective in our world that we need to be more conscious about. More importantly, we need to be listening. We need to be learning. We need to be trying to figure out how to be better to people, how to give people opportunities, how to understand that people are different. But at the same time, you know, we're all striving for the same sort of things. We're striving for, health and happiness. We're trying to make our families better. We're trying to, you know, really be able to, do good in the world. And today I'm really excited to have Suzanne Tedrick to join us today. Suzanne is really an interesting person. She's not only the author of Women in Color in Tech, she is a technology specialist at IBM. She is a cloud certified person. Suzanne, welcome to the show. I'm vastly under speaking to your breadth of interesting things that you're working on, but welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
I want to dive a little bit into your background before we get started, but we met very kind of an odd way, I guess. Well, not really an odd way these days. The way that people meet nowadays, liked a tweet that we sent from the Cloudcast account, and I thought, I kind of go and look at some of those things, and I went, oh, there's a new name, there's a new face. I've never seen that person before. I've never met that person before. Started digging into your background, and I thought, man, that is an incredibly interesting, rich background beyond having written this book. And I thought, now is the right time to bring you onto the show. So give us a little bit of your background for people that are listening, kind of the things that you work on, the things that you're passionate about, and then we'll kind of dive into today's conversation.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that you reached out. That's so awesome. Because I've been a fan of the podcast for some time. But as you said, I am a technical specialist for IBM, and I specifically work in their cloud platform division. So I help a number of our clients, understand cloud computing a lot better, what it means to them, what are the implications for them, where they're trying to make improvements, and how we as IBM can help them to get to their ideal state. So sometimes it's conversations about modernizing infrastructure in applications. Other times it's conversations on building applications that were born on the cloud. Mm-hmm. No two clients are the same, and everyone's in different parts of their cloud journey. But it's my job to really understand their goals, and as well as vet out the business and technical requirements that they have, as well as remove any blockers that are in my particular control to do so. So that's my day to day. In terms of the things that I'm passionate about, mm-hmm. So from like a work perspective, I am really passionate about cloud computing. It is one of the technology areas that is not only transformed a number of different businesses, but, you know, our personal lives as well. I mean, I just think about, you know, and I know that I'm dating myself, but when I used to download, or rather when I had to purchase Microsoft Word to get things done for a particular project for school, you know, and now you have Office 365 where you can just kind of, you know, go and, you know, type up documents and it's no big deal. So it's complete shift in how we do things on a day-to-day basis. I'm also starting to get a little bit more entrenched in cloud security, because I think what has happened is that we've innovated so quickly that sometimes the security conversation doesn't happen, or it happens late in the process after something very unforeseen has happened. So I'm getting very knowledgeable in that, and, you know, just trying to educate people on best practices. Yep. So from a work perspective, that's kind of where my passions lie. From a personal standpoint, I am very, very big on community service. Mm-hmm. I actually just received a badge for completing 500 hours of community service over the last few years.
That's outstanding.
Thank you. And the areas that I tend to concentrate on are nonprofits that really help to advance women and people of color in STEM careers. Mm-hmm. So places like Black Girls Code, Chick Tech, and the P-Tech program through IBM. And I'm also very much about economic empowerment. So through some of my community service efforts with, excuse me, IBM, you know, raising office supplies for, you know, children that are living in homeless shelters that are going to, you know, back to New York City public schools, arranging career development days, wherever I think I can bring value to people is where I kind of am, and I try to be present. And I also just do a lot of informal and formal mentoring with a number of different people. So those are really where my passions and my interests are.
Yeah, no, that's outstanding. I always want to caveat for folks listening. You know, normally, so last week's show, we had Chris Short from Red Hat was on. This week, you're on. You're from IBM. We always try and caveat to people. We try very hard to keep our day job. Folks know I work at Red Hat. You know, our day job kind of separate from the podcast. So I didn't bring you on. I didn't bring Chris on last week to sort of go, hey, let me pimp what you know, people from my company are doing. I brought the two of you on, and you in particular, because I'm most interested in the stuff that you're doing kind of outside of work, right? Outside of the IBM umbrella. You know, like you said, you're passionate about giving back to the community. You're passionate about you know, helping certain people improve, right? People that have some challenges. You've recently written a book, called Women of Color in Tech. And I'm again want to get the tagline right: a blueprint for inspiring and mentoring the next generation of technology innovators. I had a chance to read the book. I appreciate you giving us a copy of it. Talk a little bit. You have this platform now. You've written this book. It's really an excellent book. We'll put the link in the show notes. What motivated you to write the book? Obviously, you've been incredibly successful. You've been in the tech industry for a while. You've had experience, probably both good and bad. What motivated you to write it, and what, you know, what are you starting to see now that you have this platform to talk about this topic, which is, you know, it's a big topic. It's not only impactful to our industry, but impactful to society. You know, talk a little bit about what motivated you to write it and what you're seeing come out of it.
Sure. I really was coming from a place of helping others. So we talked a little bit about the community service that I've done for various organizations. And I've always been of the belief that I want to share my experiences, bad and good, so that people not only are, you know, get to where they want to be, but they're really successful in whatever endeavors that they want to have. So that was definitely part of the motivation. The second was to show certain groups that these are careers that you can have. This is not a career for someone that went to a particular school or grew up in a certain area or looks a certain way. You know, just thinking back on my own, you know, trajectory, I, you know, never would have guessed that I would have had the tech career that I have, nor would I be able to write a book. But, you know, it's happening. And so if I can do that, then I firmly believe that anyone can do this as well. And so I wanted to give people the tools and the means and the resources to be successful, to spend less time on things that will just make you end up hitting your head against the wall and yeah. just really being a catalyst for change in an industry that really needs diversity and inclusive environments.
Right, right. Absolutely. And, you know, unfortunately, so, you know, on the positive side, tech is, you know, tech's a pretty interesting industry. It's, you know, you get an opportunity to work with a lot of very smart people, a lot of very creative people. Like you said, you know, we see technology impact every aspect of our lives, sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes in frustrating ways. but, you know, one of the biggest challenges we have as an industry is, you know, we aren't terribly good to the women in our industry. We don't necessarily see for the number of women in the population as a whole. We don't see that representation. You know, and you have some numbers in the, you know, sort of startling numbers in the book that talk about, you know, kind of the challenges that not only women, but women of color have in the industry. Give folks a little bit of some of that data, some of those statistics that sort of jump out at you as to, you know, when the industry is growing so much, why, you know, why aren't we seeing the kind of representative growth of both women and also women in tech and women in tech in leadership positions?
Yeah, and that's a fantastic question. So in the book, I reference a study from the National Computing for Women in Technology, and it talks about the fact that while women and women of color may be pursuing computer science or technical degrees, and perhaps are coming into the industry, they're not necessarily staying. What we're finding is that there is a negative migration, particularly for Black and Latino women. I actually just looked at the update of the study a few days ago, and it looks like there is actually a close to a 4 to 5% decrease for both Black and Latino women in the tech workforce. So what that means is that you know, we're having this negative migration. For every, you know, woman of color that's coming in, more are leaving, and you know, you kind of have to ask questions about why that is. I do think that companies are more astute about their recruiting practices, you know, trying to recruit from different places, developing programs, and trying to take bias out of their kind of recruiting practices. But I think the larger conversation and the conversations I've been having with people of late with the book is that while we may be bringing a more diverse workforce, we're not necessarily creating inclusive environments for women and women of color in these places. So do they feel like they can bring their whole selves to work? Do they feel like their opinions are appreciated and validated? You know, for people who happen to be in positions of leadership, do they truly have leadership, or, you know, or is it at worst tokenism, where you're just kind of there as a figurehead, but other people are, you know, perhaps holding the power or, you know, holding you back, not to mention pay inequity and room for advancement. So right. These are conversations that are definitely becoming more and more prevalent, because as you said, this has been an issue for quite some time. And for all of our awareness, it does seem like the trend is still kind of stuck in the same place that it was perhaps a couple of decades ago.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think couple of things that I really enjoyed about the book, and I think you do a really nice job of sort of laying out, you know, not just, hey, you know, here's today's situation. You really, you sort of lay out this entire journey, you know, partially your own journey, but also kind of the journey for everything from young kids in STEM and schools and all the way up through college and other things. And you highlighted a couple of things. You know, one of them is, you know, in communities, you know, maybe underrepresented communities, communities of color. Number one, you don't necessarily see STEM as much in the schools, which is unfortunate. So oftentimes you find the kids have to go outside to find outside programs. It could be Black Girls Code. It could be lots of other things. But, you know, it's not necessarily right in front of them all the time. And that's something that people can contribute to and help try and make better. And then you sort of talk about this, the importance of once you kind of get into that mindset and you like STEM, you're seeing success with it, you have to see people in positions of success, people that you can look up to and go, oh, that's something I could do. Because, you know, when you're young, you're a kid, you don't really know what jobs are. You don't know what's possible. Talk a little bit about why you thought why it was so important to be highlighting so many people that people could go look at and go, oh, that person does this. That person has achieved this. Like, I guess sort of the importance of having people that look like you in positions that you can aspire to someday. How I thought you did a really nice job throughout the book highlighting those sorts of folks and just the importance of making sure that's visible.
Yeah, and thank you. And it's really super important, I think. In fact, in the book, I cited two studies where young women were more likely to pursue a STEM career if they had at least one female that they could readily identify with and see that they're being successful, they're getting accolades. There's just something about seeing someone who you know has had shared experiences, mm-hmm. who, you know, knows your challenges, you know, perhaps more than you think they are, and can really give you good counsel about how to move forward when these challenges present themselves. This isn't to say that, you know, that other people couldn't do that, but there is something about commonality that, you know, helps people to say, like, hey, I think this person really gets where I'm coming from, and I think they can be of real help for me. And I see a lot of myself in this person, therefore maybe I too can be really successful. And I think a lot about that when just in my own career, I know that my personal circumstances were a little different. But I will say that, you know, growing up, I didn't have a lot of STEM professional, you know, role models,
right,
in my life. And for the people that I knew were in STEM, they looked nothing like me. They didn't go to the same place as I did. And they had no clue as to, you know, kind of my challenges and the things that I was facing. And so when you have conversations with people like that, there's almost kind of this missing link of like, yeah, but you don't quite get what I'm
right. You get a lot of, you know, well, why don't you just do this? Or why don't you just try harder? Or why don't you just ask for something? And yeah, like you said, if you're not talking to people that have gone through the same experiences or, you know, similar, sometimes those sort of blank stares can be very frustrating because you're just like, wait, what do you mean you don't understand? I have this challenge. It's not a, I don't want to do it. It's a, I don't have access to it or something along those lines.
Exactly. And I'll just cite like a very basic example when we talk about like higher education. So one of the things that I cited was that contrary to popular belief, while there may be many scholarship programs dedicated to people of color, they're highly competitive, and there isn't a guarantee that you'll get a scholarship. So the answer for some people is, oh, we'll just go ahead and, you know, take out a private student loan. And I'm like, that's not an easy feat to do,
right,
you know,
right.
Like, you know, depending on what your circumstances are. And so sometimes people don't really think about those nuances and those differences.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, just, I mean, we're seeing this, you know, now that kids are back in school, it's, you know, there are people make the assumption that just, oh, everybody's got computers and every kid has a computer and every kid has, you know, fast internet and all these sort of things. And, you know, certain basic things, sometimes you have to go back and realize that maybe some of those opportunities that were just kind of given to you or just assumed, you know, don't extend to everybody. And then you start sort of connecting the dots and you go, well, what if that first step wasn't available to you? Then that second step may not have been available to you. That third step may not have been available to you. And you know, it was a lot of this, I think I've sort of had my eyes open to, whether it's been recently or over time, but you do, I think what I really enjoyed about the book and the way that you looked at this was, it wasn't about kind of an airing of grievances. I mean, it obviously you highlight for people, look, this is where there are challenges. And then you go into just tons and tons of detail of like, these are programs that are there to help people. And in some cases, it's, you know, like you said, ways to get funding for schooling, ways to, you know, free resources that are online, you know, programs that are there to help people. So I thought it was a really good job of not only sort of identifying a problem, but going, here's solutions. And then, you know, kind of having some tough love with people and saying, look, you're going to have to work extra hours sometimes. You're going to have to make some prioritization decisions. And I thought that was really important too, to not just make this about, hey, you know, we're struggling, you know, or we're underrepresented, but like, here's how we can make things better.
Yeah. And I thought that was I thought it was very important to highlight, yes, you know, I don't want to sugarcoat it for people, you know, like this is the potential of what you may have to deal with and the right. challenges that are there. But I wouldn't trade my tech career for anything. I've gotten to not only play with the latest and greatest in technology, but, you know, I've had the opportunity to really help people. Yeah. And that's meant a ton to me. And I'm also very honest about the journey. So actually, someone who read the book reached out to me for just a conversation, and she asked me, well, how long did it take you? And I said, like, in all honesty, it took me about 4 or 5 years to get here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it was not easy. And no, there were days where I probably had way too many happy hours, but I did it, you know. And not to say that your journey will take this long and that your journey may, you know, have all of the difficulties that I had. But anything that's worth having, you know, that you do have to understand that there is going to be some sacrifice and things that you'll have to work on.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I thought was important was, you know, you highlighted the importance of not only, you know, mentors, right? Finding people that, like you said, can help you, right? Can teach you some things, whether it's a technical thing or a career thing. You talk about the importance of networks, right? Being in groups, because, you know, you're going to learn about opportunities. You're going to learn about, you know, what's a shortcut I can take to not learn to, you know, skin my knees the same way you did. And then you talked about the importance of sponsors. Can you talk a little bit about some of the, you know, maybe mentors and sponsors in your life that have helped you and, you know, any examples that have really kind of been impactful?
Yeah. So I have the really great fortune of having a boss who is not only a mentor, but has been a keen advocate for me and sponsor. And I'm really lucky, you know, in that respect to have that. And when I say mentor, you know, meaning imparting both, you know, practical knowledge as well as some informal knowledge. But he really goes out of his way to make sure that, like, hey, Suzanne, there's this advancement opportunity that I think you're going to be great for, and I'm going to go ahead and put your name in. Or if the project comes up and he thinks that I would be great in it. He'll say my name and put my hat in the ring for me when I'm not in the room. And that's really important because, as I say to people, for as much as it is getting that skill, both the technical and professional skills, it really is about other people using their influence and, to some extent, privileges that many other people may not have, to really start helping people to advance in their careers. And so that sponsorship portion is really, really important to advance people of color in technical careers. I do caution when I talk to people that I mentor that, understand that a sponsor is taking on a little bit of reputational risk. Right. So it's not like you could just go on LinkedIn and say, sponsor me, to a random stranger. But that being said, you do want those people who are going to go above and beyond to put the spotlight on you so that you can get some forward momentum in your career.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think it's important sometimes to know that, there can be times when that a different role fits, right? There's probably going to be times when you're just looking for someone to sort of mentor you, right? You're like, I'm moving into something new. You've been there before. Can you help me with this? And you do a really nice job in the book of highlighting, like, what does that dynamic need to look like, right? How much time can you expect? What should you be giving? What should you expect to get back? And then there are, like you said, there are other times when, and it might be a completely different person, you need someone to be advocating on your behalf. And that may be as simple as, they're aware of an opportunity and they're kind of putting your name forward. It could be, they're just kind of, they're mentioning that you did good work up through the chain of command or, kind of to a broader community. So, I think it's important to kind of understand the dynamic of, there are times when, you want to be around community because there's, kind of love and friendship and collaboration that goes on. But there's other times when the mentor process, the sponsor process, they're all different. They're all different stages of the journey. And you kind of have to know, when to look for one and when to look for the other.
Right, exactly. And especially for women, not just women of color,
right.
There's finding the mentor,
right.
Which in some places can be really, really difficult. Mm-hmm. And then there's being over-mentored, where you have like 8-9 mentors, and somehow you're just kind of stagnant in your career. You're not moving. So when that's happening, it's like, yeah, it's time to find someone that can kind of advance the story forward.
Yeah. I want to kind of come back, in terms of you've now written this, but more importantly, like you talked about, you work in a lot of different groups because you're serving, you're giving back. What are some of the conversations you have with people at different ages? Like what's a common conversation you have with kids or college age kids or younger kids that you've found has been really impactful just to keep them, interested in STEM and interested in tech and interested in this space?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for younger people that I talk to, I really instill being curious.
Yeah.
and exploring and experimenting. It's great to have a very good understanding of what you think you want to do, but I also don't want to instill in 8-year-olds that you absolutely have to know what you have to do
right.
By the time that you're 8. I'm like, that's not what I definitely don't want to spin that narrative with anyone. It's more of be curious, be hungry, have that continuous learning mindset, experiment. I actually did a mentoring session for a Pennsylvania STEM program. And one of the things that I am really an advocate of is just, trying and experimenting, do your own, online projects, make your own, or do projects with other people. But really just be curious and kind of delve into your curiosity about different technology areas as much as possible. And that's when it starts crystallizing for you. I like this. I don't want to do that.
Right.
Or at least it gives you a better understanding. And the reason I emphasize this early on, as I tell much older people that I talk about, when you're in technology, you need to have a continuous learning mindset. Mm-hmm. There's really no getting around that, especially if you're working in an area that's considered an emerging technology field. So you really have to love being able to just kind of digest information quickly, to pivot quickly, to change how you're doing things quickly. And the earlier on that you kind of learn that, the better it is.
Right.
And for people that are perhaps older, what I often tell them is, careers are not linear, so don't feel like, you're going down this path to, let's say, be, a cybersecurity analyst and you decide that you hate it.
Right.
That's really okay. Like, the beauty about technology is that there are so many different fields that are emerging every day that, as long as you have this fundamental understanding of how, computer systems and how the internet works, you can, and again, the continuous learning mindset, you can pivot to wherever you think your interests lie. Don't think that it's all or nothing. Just
right.
Being flexible and open-minded about what your career could look like.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great insight. I told somebody recently, I was doing a separate podcast, and I said, I think my career probably looks a little bit like that kid's board game, Chutes and Ladders, right? It's you're up, you're down. It's, some things are unexpected.
Exactly.
One of the other things I enjoyed about the book was you kind of laid out for a lot, and for a lot of people, they think, okay, tech is, you're writing software or you're building hardware or, and you really did a nice job of kind of highlighting, look, there are lots of places for people with different disciplines, right? You could be, designing UX, right? And so you're thinking creatively, how do people interact with things? You could be doing business analyst. You could be working on AI systems where where your experience and your bias comes in, right? Like I think it's important, as much as it is early on to foster, like you said, creativity, which is a lifelong skill. Like you said, you also want to let people know that you may enter through one door and you may go up one set of stairs and you may end up, going into a different building. You may go into a different area. And it's important to sort of know, oh, okay, there are a lot of different paths. And it's okay if you don't like, if you get into something and then don't like it. But like you said, you have some fundamental things that are going to be applicable and transferable to other areas. So I think that was a really important message and a nice area of what you laid out for people to kind of have a map of what's available.
Yeah, I really wanted to strike that that point home, and especially talking about the broader availability of certain careers. So I found out very early on that, software development is not going to be my thing. That's okay. And that's okay. That's really okay. But I have a lot of different interests and skills that I can develop. And I found that when I was talking to some of my younger mentees, there was almost kind of this, I gotta study computer science and I only have a limited, range of what I can do. And
right.
No, that's not true. It's really you don't have to study computer science if you don't want to. If you do, that's great.
Yep.
But there's a lots of other options that are available, and there's also a diversity of different industries that your technical knowledge can be applied to. I was really blown away during last year's Grace Hopper conference. I had no idea that New York Times was such a big technology recruiter.
Yep.
I never would have thought that, but or Bank of America. But when you really start to think about how much technology is, in our everyday lives, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. No, we've had on people from the Financial Times talked about what goes on. And so, yeah, sometimes you're like, oh yeah, it's not just printing presses and ATM machines, and there's a lot that goes on and behind the scenes that, yeah, if you're working in some part of tech, you don't realize it. So, hey, I'm going to wrap up a little bit because I'm conscious of time, and I know you're very, very busy. Couple of things. Number one, you know, if people, you know, people are listening to this and they go, you know, that a lot of this strikes a chord with me. I'd like to either learn more or I'd like to, you know, help, right? I'd like to sort of improve the situation. What are some things that people can kind of get involved with, or just, you know, what should they be sort of reading and learning up on?
That's an excellent question. So I think for folks who really want to be helpful, I think one of the best things is learning how to be an ally and mm-hmm. understanding what allyship is. And so it just goes beyond saying I'm an ally, but really understanding, you know, the marginalized groups, what they're facing, and how you can use privilege and options at your disposal to help these groups. Two resources that I recommend to people. It's a book called Better Allies, which is available now, mm-hmm. As well as The Guide to Allyship, which is an online kind of open source kind of guide on how to develop your allyship skills. Because I think when you have that foundation, it helps you to be a better mentor, sponsor, and friend, quite honestly. So I always recommend those resources. In terms of organizations to get involved with, there are so many. You know, the ones that come to mind, obviously for me, it's Black Girls Code. You know, they do a lot of hands-on workshops for girls between the ages of 7 and 17. Mm-hmm. Chick Tech, all about just giving technical knowledge to a number of different women. It's primarily in the Portland, Oregon area, but it is nationwide. Rewriting the code, Code 2040. There's really no limit or end. In fact, I could probably, we don't have time, but I can probably list out at least 30 more.
Yeah.
But honestly, you know, you just have to have that willingness and desire to help people, and you know, find these resources online. And honestly, if you're working in a tech company, you know, I promise you, they're probably already looking at ways to kind of develop those relationships with different organizations as well. So I would definitely, you know, reach out to any diversity and inclusion leaders in your organizations, because they may be able to point you in the right direction.
Yeah, very, very good. And we'll get some of those things in the show notes, especially, like you said, some of the book about allies and things that people can help with. Suzanne, thank you so much for the time today. Folks, I can't recommend the book highly enough. I had a chance to read it. I really just kind of plowed through it in about 2 days. It's an easy read, but a very eye-opening read. So, Suzanne, thank you so much for the time today. And folks, with that, we're going to wrap it up for myself and for Aaron. Thank you, as always, for listening to the show. Thank you for telling a friend. Thanks for rating the show. Thanks for, you know, kind of spreading the word. And with that, we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Cloudcast. Please visit thecloudcast.net to find more shows, show notes, videos, and everything social media.